Hello, everybody. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Check out iGamBros.com, iGamBros on Instagram, iGamBros on Twitter, iGamBros2 on TikTok.
Yes.
And Patreon subscribers. Thank you, guys. Thank you a million times.
Seriously.
Thank you 10 million, 100 million, billion times.
Thank you. We're going to be doing Hangouts soon, whether you like it or not. No, I'm just kidding. But it's on Saturdays, I think. I think it's kind of what the Patreon patrons
decided.
Yeah,
I think
we're
say.
So, starting next weekend.
So, if you guys want to hang out with your boys.
November.
Sign up for Patreon.
Sign up for Patreon. Hang out.
Come exclusive.
Join us in our social hours. Ask us questions. Ask us questions that might be relevant to what we're about to tell you right now.
Exactly.
Is physics political?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Or is politics physical? If you're from the UK, it is physical. Because they get fucking physical there, man. I don't know if you've seen
the
YouTube videos.
Over there?
No, they like...
fisticuffs?
Oh, they fight, dude.
That's what I'm saying. Bouts, you know?
Oh, okay. Like, that's what you said. I didn't hear it.
Like
I didn't
round
hear
one, fight.
Oh, yeah. In Parliament, okay. Man, it's insane.
Oh, wow.
We'll go ahead and clip... just look it up. I mean, look up videos of Parliament, which is something here that it's just unfounded. Like, there was never a time here in the States. There's a lot more decorum here, or the veil of decorum, at least.
Right.
Because people are actually friends over here, you know, it's like kind of like wrestling or whatever.
Yeah.
And like behind closed doors, they're like actually like in the cafeteria of Congress, sitting across from each other and having dinner and
mm-hmm.
stuff,
mm.
or having lunch.
Kayfabe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see.
But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
Is
a quick confessional. We did a whole video of the podcast dump. So me and Juan are trying to speak about this in a new, fresh way because we had our whole video dump. This is our second-ish time kind of doing this, so we want to try to
we'll see. Yeah, we'll
switch
see
it
if
up
the latter half is going to be interesting.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe this one will dump too, but and you won't be seeing this. But we'll see.
Well, let's see what other stuff that we covered in the first half that we didn't cover.
So what I'm thinking is maybe we can talk about the undergrad angle.
Mm-hmm.
Is there politics? Do you remember any political situations that you had during undergrad? I know it's a lot lesser because you know we covered the graduate half on the unreleased version, or we'll see whatever.
We'll see what happens. But an undergraduate.
Let's start with the undergrad, I guess, this time.
An undergraduate. I think I had. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it. Actually, in undergrad, it was a lot more seamless navigating that political space.
Mm-hmm.
I think because the stakes were so low.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, they don't depend on you for research. They think of you as, oh, little baby undergrad doing differential equations. So cute. They're pitching your cheeks.
Yeah.
You're harmless, you know, at that point.
You're brand new. You're straight out the factory.
Right, right. Yeah. You're green, wet behind the ears, you know.
Yeah.
Twinkle in your eye. You're like, I'm going to be a quantum physicist when I grow up.
I'm going to be a quantum mechanic with your little Bob the Builder toolbox.
Very non-threatening. But I'd say there's a little bit of politics in undergrad. Of course, one that's in particular that you kind of, I feel you kind of get towards the end mm-hmm. is when you're trying to get to your next, let's say your next excursion of either in a job or in grad school, which a lot of students will do. And that requires letters of recommendation.
Yeah.
So we mentioned that in the fucked up version of the podcast. But letters of rec, I think, is a good one to reiterate in some sense. Because, you know, it is a very important part of life that you will see, especially in the academic track. Don't really see it too much in jobs. I mean, you kind of do with, like, let's say government jobs where they'll ask you for, you know, a few people or to talk to your previous employers. But I'd say letters of recommendation are very critical. And I just want to reiterate that because it's pretty much showing you that people want to just have a long or professors want to have along, and I guess everyone really does, they want to have people that they like and enjoy around them.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of it. I don't know. It felt less political only because you didn't – in undergraduate, you don't have the a lot of the same responsibilities that you do as a graduate student. And you would think that physicists wouldn't be involved in such, you know, in those kind of petty human endeavors, mm-hmm. but it's very true.
Just look on Twitter and you'll realize. Twitter is more the real life of physicists.
Yeah. I mean, just the amount of, the biggest organization is a sort of political organization in physics. It's the American Physical Society. Sorry.
Uh-huh. APS?
APS. And they have, they have APS groups in your university. And here's, mm-hmm. here's the crazy thing that I didn't know.
Yeah.
But in undergrad, the faculty does talk about your class. Behind closed doors, they all talk about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll say who's promising, who's a dumbass, who never shows up. It's just like, imagine yourself if you were in that position.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the thing. I never imagined myself in that position.
Right. You don't really as an undergrad. You kind of think of professors as these, like, non-human entities.
Yeah.
They're like these, they're these beyond mortal
mm-hmm. beings.
Beings that
yeah.
just don't have petty, normal, you know.
Yeah.
Everyday personalities,
yeah,
but they
when,
do.
When if they you... come in the door, the classroom door, they just float in. They don't touch ground.
Right.
Yeah.
And actually, some of them probably think that about themselves too. But you quickly learn they are mere mortals like everyone else.
Yeah. But they do talk about the students behind. That's the one thing I didn't like, and that's how I knew it was political because they talk about you behind your back.
But you know that's everybody.
But see, the thing is with me, I don't know. I would not, because I've been in the position of a professor in some way, as a teaching assistant. But I could never really. I mean, there were some students that were kind of a problem, I guess, but mm-hmm. none ever that I was just like.
Are you talking about graduate or undergraduate?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, what are you thinking of right now?
I'm thinking about assessing.
Because I think the tier makes.
I'm
more
assessing
difference.
Undergraduates
yeah.
as a graduate student.
I see. Yeah.
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 And even in that limited role, I didn't grade students in that kind of like. I didn't. I've heard other professors that do talk about their students, and I'm mm-hmm. like, man, that's tough. I guess because I wouldn't really, in my mind, I wouldn't really necessarily. Talk about them
right,
like that.
Right.
I don't know if you had the same inclination or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same.
I just don't think anybody really would care that much about what undergrads are doing. They're kind of just learning the process, right? They're trying to figure out the first steps to physics. It's like, mm-hmm. I get when they're talking about graduate students because they're kind of like, they're the new age of what is to follow, right? They're the ones who you'll see in the news and getting Nobel Prizes and whatnot. With more certainty. Of course, the undergrads will get there too, but they're just not at that level yet.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't really see the point of even talking about undergraduates. Like, yeah, they're going to make dumb mistakes and whatnot, or yeah, there's some promise there, but, and there's a lot more of them too. So it's kind of like, you just don't know who's going to end up where. They're kind of in the beginning stages of college.
Yeah.
So as a graduate student, I wouldn't really. I mean, I pretty much never talked about my undergrads. I mean, I probably never talked about undergrads. It's just I talk to them, but not about them. I mean,
yeah.
There's no reason to.
But even then, I would see professors, like, talk. I don't know. It just – that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But even back into my undergrad days, I did hear about professors talking about their students. And I'm like, yikes. I don't know if I would
– Right.
I don't know if this is, like – for one, fair to the students.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. I know faculty, technically, they're not supposed to talk about students' grades amongst themselves.
Oh, their grades specifically.
Yeah.
I see.
No, I mean flat. I mean, it's like they talk around it.
I see.
But I'm sure that they, if they heard other students talk talk about or listen into what they're saying, I'm pretty sure they'd be in trouble.
Whistles blown.
Yeah, and I think it is I think it's a culture that is unfair to a lot of students because it creates like narratives about students in some ways.
I see.
Because then you can be like, oh, this is, if one teacher doesn't like a student, imagine that. Like, imagine.
Right. And then it passes on to the other teacher. They're like, oh, he said he sucks, so.
Yeah.
He probably sucks. And it's like, it's not really fair to the student because they don't have an unbiased,
right,
you know, perception.
Yeah. And that's happened to a guy that I knew in undergrad. Like, he was an American student, you know, kind of went through the system and was like, bro, I'm really trying like hard and I'm sucking and I have to retake the class.
But, right.
But the professor that he had that would not pass him was, I think, being unnecessarily
like, harsh.
Mm. I think because they had a prejudice against like what they thought a physicist was and they didn't think that guy was.
He's bro tier, huh?
Yeah. but
bro tier doesn't work. So if you're watching the Eigen Bros and you're bro tier, I mean, be yourself. But just know
this is what the channel's about.
Yourself. We're trying to support the bros and the what's the female version of bros?
Hey, but females can be bros too.
That's
bro.
True.
Yeah.
Female bros out there too. Yeah. We're trying to support your bros and your bros.
Your bros and your bros.
I like that.
Your bros and your bras. Like I
bros,
really...
that's pretty good. That's got a ring to it.
No, but yeah, but I mean, like I'm trying to let the students know that is something. Look, that's something that I didn't really think about until I was at the tail end of my undergraduate experience.
I see.
That there is backdoor politics going on.
Right. So you're seeing the first. You guess. To sum it up here, you're seeing the first beginnings of politics during the end of your undergraduate, usually. Mm-hmm. And then when you get into graduate, you're kind of seeing you're in the political sphere now in some sense. Mm-hmm. You're not quite there with the professors. The professors have some real shit, right? They're, you know, saying fuck you on Twitter and your results suck. And, you know, you got guys like Nassim Taleb calling out your p-values and... It's real shit, right? That's like the real fucking mudslinging. But as a grad student, you're getting up there. They're seeing you up there in that light. So, and I guess the undergrad is kind of like it's the first beginnings of that.
Yeah.
So I guess did we want to talk about grad school again, or do we want to talk about professor politics maybe?
Yeah, professor politics would be a good shift.
Yeah, that's interesting because I don't even know if we're qualified to say that because, you know, of course, me and Juan, full disclosure, me and Juan both are college dropouts. I mean, it's graduate school, but...
Yeah. Graduate school,
you know,
dropouts.
We both... So Juan left after he got his master's. I left right before I was about to get my master's. So we both dropped out of grad school. So of course we both don't know the professor route as well, but we've seen it. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is we know the hurdles you have to go through. I mean, professor politics looks like a bitch.
Well, let's make it clear though. For you it was like a breakup that was like you were like, I'm done with this relationship.
Right. Yeah. I guess you could say it was an amicable breakup.
For you?
Yeah.
Let's just say they
I saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, like, but they wanted you.
I guess you could say some people wanted me. I'm sure some other people were like, nah, good riddance, you know? it's like if you have a divorce, like some of your kids want to stay with you. Like, daddy, I want to stay with you. But then some of the kids are like, no.
Well, the person that matters the most, I think, wanted you. Like, you should. They were going to fight for the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, the main one was rooting for me. But
yeah.
I was like, you know what? It's not for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say it's an amicable breakup.
For me, it was not an amicable breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little less amicable. I feel like you handled it with grace, though, where some other people could have, you know, set the bridge alight.
Oof.
You know, you didn't do that, though.
Oh, I didn't do that. No, I tried not to. I'm just kidding.
There was well, no, I feel like you did, didn't you?
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying like trying would imply that I had the motive of like.
Oh, you had the gas design. Can in your head.
Yeah, and I did not. Okay, I did not. I just was like, the philosophy of the politics really was kind of getting to me. Mm-hmm. This is kind of why I just kind of was like, it's time to wash my hands of this and try somewhere else. Who knows? Maybe we'll see what the future holds. But
well, I'm still soul searching.
I'm still soul searching for the right one.
We're both kind of soul searching.
Except for
me, graduate school's fucking out. There's no way in hell I'm going back. Unless I'm a rich man and I can just enjoy myself there. Yeah. There's no way I'm putting up with any bullshit anymore.
Yeah. But
let's talk about the professor stuff. So the professor route, I don't even know if this is a smart move because our audience is not professors, really. Mm-hmm. If you're actually a professor in our audience, please say something in the comments because that'd be fucking badass.
Yeah.
But, I think the professors have they're in the real weeds, right? Mm-hmm. They're kind of in the real shit. That's the real thing because, you know, professors, let's say once you get your PhD, right, and you're looking for an academia position, you can either go one of two routes pretty much, right? You mm-hmm. can go industry, you can go academia. Of course, you can do other things like go entrepreneurship, but I'm not counting that because that's like you don't even need a physics degree for that. But let's say you're going either academic.
Yeah, it's being unemployed with a pinky up.
Right. I'm an entrepreneur.
I have an idea. Yeah. I'm broke, but I have an idea.
Yeah, we're entrepreneurs. We make, $40 a month on the podcast?
Yeah. Don't tell the IRS, but... I'm just kidding.
You're going to come take 20 of it. Little bastards.
They're going to come... Actually, they're like, you need the money, so you should...
Right. They're writing us a check. Never, though. The government would fucking...
But the thing is, if you're a professor,
Yeah, so the professors, they got to go through what? They go through the PhD, right? And you're like, finally, I'm done.
No.
But no.
It's just
it gets
the
worse. Yeah.
In fact, it is literally just the beginning.
It truly is.
For your academic career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the academics, I mean, you guys are fucked. You got to go through hurdle after hurdle. Because then once what happens is once you get your PhD and you want to, let's say, get into a professorship.
Yeah.
Typically, you're going to be doing at least one or two postdocs. Sometimes three even.
No, I've known people that are doing three now.
Yeah.
Three.
Especially in this day and age, I would imagine.
Do the average. The average postdoc is 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3? Okay. I was saying one to two to be generous.
Worst case scenario, and I've known people that have done this. They're on the third postdoc, so it's like almost another decade added to your...
Yeah, so just imagine after you got your PhD and now you're waiting around for another decade just to get a professorship. So what a postdoc basically is just... waiting around to see when a spot in the university opens up and when people feel good enough about you to where they believe you can do some research. Mm-hmm. So the postdoc is basically like, you got to really prove your shit. And then once you get in the postdoc and let's say you've gone through the postdoc, you've done that for like 10 years or so. And I mean, postdocs have a lot of responsibility, right? I mean, the postdocs I've had in my lab. So of course, graduate students, we interact with postdocs a lot. Because they're kind of like our heads, you know, it would be like, I guess, say the hierarchy would be, graduate student, postdoc, and then actual advisor, or professor. Mm-hmm. And the postdocs, you know, they know their shit and they know a lot of stuff. They're basically full blown professors. And usually a lot of times they know way more shit than a professor because they're in the trenches, right, with us.
Yeah,
in some
professors
sense.
Writing grants. And
right.
Funding and all that.
So the postdoc is really like, they're probably the height of your intellectual career in some sense, I would say. And the postdocs basically have to be there all the time and doing a lot of work. I'm trying to figure out if they have it worse than the graduate students or not. I think they might just because they have to do it for longer. Because the graduate students, at least they get a taper off once they've went through hell their first year. I don't think the postdoc matches the hell of the first year physics graduate. But I think their hell is kind of like a lesser version, but it lasts longer time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not, you know, you're still kind of in the trenches as a postdoc. Once you've gotten past your postdoc, let's say you get a professorship. Wow, you finally made it.
Hold on, but let's not skip over this.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Postdocs, I'm making my narrative. You're still at the mercy of the advisor. Imagine if you don't, because with most postdocs, you want to at least have at least one publication a year.
Okay.
While you're there, because you're at that point you're full blown like.
Is it the number?
Yeah, I've taught. Well, the postdocs that I talk to, they're like, they freak out because they're like, I haven't had a publication, and I'm supposed to be out of here.
That's your
years.
First author, not like ancillary shit, exactly, where you're just hopping on someone else's research. That didn't count.
Yeah,
it's
that
like
doesn't count.
The publication we're talking about is you got to write that yourself, doing all the legwork, or most of the legwork, and you're putting that out as your research.
Mm-hmm. And the advisor or the professor that you work for. Is your colleague. It's not your – he's not the person writing for you. I have heard scenarios where professors kind of if they dictate – if they have a certain maybe brand or sort of say, they control kind of the – they're sort of
the creative
editor.
Process.
Yeah, they control the creative process a little more. They're more of the editorial
it's like
kind.
Like they're musicians.
Yeah, but they're more editorializing. But for the most part – the postdocs kind of just publish their own stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
because at that point, the postdoc is like, they're an individual entity in some sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're producing research in the advisor's lab. Like, they're equal to the advisor. The only reason the advisor's higher up is just because the advisor finally has a professor position and they have potentially tenure and whatnot.
Yeah. And they can pay the person to do the research that
right.
They find.
Right.
They basically have the postdoc is the help,
yeah.
To really answer those research questions that are above graduate students, because graduate students have to focus on one piece of work essentially for 5 years,
right.
So
I mean, graduate students can do high quality work. I mean, there's been several graduate students that do PhD or like Nobel Prize level work, So it's not saying the graduate students can't do that, but postdoc, it's just the expectations are higher. Mm-hmm. The professor sees you as an equal in some sense. But I guess after that, then, once you've gone past the postdoc, and let's say you get professorship. So once you become a professor, it's like, okay, now you're cooking with fire, you know. If you're in a research institution, you might be able to have your lab or whatever. Not always, especially if you're a theorist, you may not get a lab at all because, you don't need it. But professors, they have their setup. And this is us speaking a little bit from ignorance because we don't know this at all, but just from what we've seen. So this is kind of an outsider's perspective looking in. And I have buddies of mine, close buddy, who's a professor. So I kind of know the process a little bit. But, once you get your lab and you get your office and all that stuff, you got to have students and everything, and then you've got to build up your teaching portfolio, your lesson plans and all that stuff. So you're kind of, you're kind of settling into actually becoming a professor by building up all of your lectures, your curriculum, all that stuff, your laboratory, the research instruments and things you'll use if you're an experimentalist. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're kind of getting comfortable now establishing yourself. But then the kind of thing everybody wants as a professor is, of course, tenure. So tenure is this thing that basically gives you kind of this immunity in some sense. It's like I kind of think of it like diplomatic immunity because it's like you can kind of go off your hinges. And if you have tenure, they can't really do anything about you. It's immunity basically from being fired.
Well, for your research, really. I mean,
yeah. You can't be fucking like... R-wording, graduate students or something insane, which, it does happen.
It does happen and you do get fired.
Yeah. So you're not, it's not giving you a free pass for that, but.
What? This is bad. The research advisor being like.
I can't.
I thought I had immunity. Yeah. I thought I could do whatever. I thought I could call.
There's down a tenure.
Your Honor, my defense is I'm tenured. Anyway.
Audience gasps. Right, but it's like you tenure is basically to give you this opportunity to do interesting and weird, unconventional research.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you're in academia, this is, I don't really know this firsthand, but I'm assuming professors kind of feel like they can't really spread their wings because they're so under the eye of the institutions, and you don't want to get fired, so you kind of keep a conventional track. But once you get tenure, apparently it's like you're kind of free. You've made it in some sense. You're finally at the end of the finish line. So once you have tenure, you could basically do a lot of interesting, abnormal kind of research, what would you say, pursuits. So that is kind of the full track, I would almost say, of a lifetime of an academic physicist in some sense.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Or am I leaving anything off?
No, you're not.
All right, so yes.
Tenure.
Yeah, tenure. So I guess the kind of the politics of tenure, you know, of course, me and Juan don't know shit about that once again. But from what I've seen, it's kind of a tough process because, you know, the shitty thing is they can actually deny you from tenure. So I've heard of that instance, and that's pretty brutal, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. We know some. I know somebody that I thought was really cool. He knows if he's watching. Actually, I wouldn't put it past him if he's a fan of the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Close buddy of yours.
One, a professor like that we know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He would be. He's really cool. I think, you know, I'm not going to say his name.
No.
I'm not going to name drop him, but his name
starts
with
I didn't think our show was good enough for a professor to watch.
Well, I don't know if he watches, but I think he's aware.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. You'll have to tell me after the show.
Yeah, we'll have to tell you after the show, but this professor was denied tenureship.
No
he
way.
He was really cool. He's probably only like maybe 15 maybe years older than us.
Okay.
But even then, he's like, I'm like, man, why wouldn't you give this guy a professorship? He meets all the criteria. Like, he's a very understanding guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great faculty member. He's like a professor, I mean. I don't know his research too well.
Yeah.
I'm not in my field, so I can't really say.
That could be one of the reasons, right? Because the thing is, in a research tier institution, mm-hmm. what they want you to do is to produce high-quality research, right? It's like, you got to check those boxes. I mean, I know it sucks, but, you know, this is the world you live in with institutions. It's like, they want these checks of these boxes. So mm-hmm. if you're not producing X amount of papers, you know,
yeah.
getting X amount of citations or something, I don't even know if that's a criteria. Take that with a grain of salt. You know,
they probably have their own criteria, but yeah, I'm sure that's.
I'm sure they do, but I mean, they need to be generating high quality research.
Yeah, they need to check the box that you actually worked at the, you know, department for 10 years. That's what they call it, 10 years. No, I'm just
kidding. But well, yeah, I mean, it's like they do have some boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
Me and Juan aren't aware. We're not privy to that information. But
no, but
I'm sure
heard, I have heard through the grapevine
mm-hmm.
how this person was, you know, what were some of the criteria and why they were denied. And some of it had to do with not enough publications. That was one of them. But the guy really focused on creating an environment that was more inclusive. Meaning to students that were more not conventional.
Not typical.
Yeah. Unconventional. Like, you know, you and I are unconventional not only in our outward appearance,
right.
but in terms of like in physics, but like also the
in
way
terms
we,
of our mental deficiency.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Well, no, like me and Terrence, you know, we take our time.
We kid.
We take our time processing things. Like we think differently than most other students, I think.
We probably don't fall into the typical, let's say, categories.
Yeah. It's hard for us to fly, to kind of run with the ideas a little bit. We have to really understand them before we decide to really commit to them. But the thing is, the professor was really trying to create a more diverse environment in that way.
Little too hippie for their taste, huh?
And I think that's kind of what it was. And I mean, because it took – I mean, you have to – there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think he spent a lot of time in those extracurriculars and not enough on research.
Right,
But I think what made him such a good, important, what I think is faculty member,
mm-hmm.
They wanted a more conventional kind of thing.
Right.
And that's kind of where it goes down to politics again, right?
Right. And I think that's just what happens with institutions, man, because the thing is, when these institutions get bigger and bigger, right, they have these set in stone criteria that makes it in some ways better because you get more consistency in a lot of respects. It really helps for the people who are lowest on the hierarchy, I feel like, in a lot of times. Well, maybe not even. I'm not. That's a bad statement. I'm going to scratch that completely. I mean,
redacted.
It just helps for us, for things to be very predictable, which is good in an institutional world, and also, reliable. But the thing is, there's a cost to that. Reliability and predictability means that when you have these edge case and, you know, strange, unusual, you know, kind of mold breaking, maybe
quite
outstanding,
quite literally outstanding,
right, type of individuals and people, they kind of get hammered down, and you don't have, or they even just don't even make it through these institutions.
You literally have to be a Richard Feynman type of person to, if you don't fit the mold,
right?
You have to be that level of.
It kind of sucks, but it's kind of true, right? And what I'm going to translate for one, what it means by that, is a sense that you have already done most of the work when you were younger, and you're already ahead of the game so much so that you can be kind of unconventional and still operate within the institutions. So it's a much harder thing to when you're at the same level or lower than a lot of your, let's say, peers or colleagues, because then you really have to play that institutional game by, you know, just going along the set track. When you're more unconventional, you have to have a lot more invested up front already. A lot more time invested up front. And this is specifically kind of talking about the physics track. I mean, I'm sure you can apply this more generally, but we're focusing on physics right now, but I think you could apply that more generally speaking as well.
I just feel like other fields have less, they have more of, like, as long as you meet the bare minimum, whatever, who cares? Like, what did you don't fit a mold of a certain type of what a physicist looks like. Look, right. I've heard that phrase where it's like, oh, this student doesn't particularly seem like a theoretical physicist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yikes! But I get
right, like, what does that seem like?
Yeah,
what I guess there's some legitimacy to that. I'll give them that a little bit, but
well, I'm saying like in terms of like I know what they mean.
Yeah, but it's like also like who the fuck are you to say, right? It's like just because they don't fit your box, it's like, and the thing is, you just don't know who has potential or not, right?
Yeah,
it's like other people have many different talents. And I think, honestly, I think anyone could be a physicist or whatever they want to be. It's just a matter of, like, to me, the number one thing is how passionate are you about it? You know, if you got passion, you can get through almost anything.
Yeah,
it's like,
you can.
What's the quote? It's like, a man with a why can bear almost any how. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So it just means if you got passion, you can do it, guys. I mean, there is no physicist archetype. Literally everyone's a scientist. When you're a kid, everybody plays the why game, right? To me, that's what you gotta be to be a physicist.
Yeah, you gotta have the grind set mentality.
The grind set mentality. Oh shit, we got Gary V one over here.
You gotta have the Jocko, a picture of Jocko on your
on your mantle.
a mural of
hustle.
Jocko
drive.
Just to push through all the BS.
No, that would probably help, though.
That would probably help. But in all seriousness, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it is surprising how much of it is kissing, you know, kissing hands and, like Terrence was saying, shaking babies, that kind of thing.
Right.
Or is it shaking hands and kissing babies? Yeah, sorry.
That's supposed to be the joke. Okay. Come on.
No, but it is a lot of that. There's a lot of sort of politics stuff of, like, making sure that, honestly, the faculty likes you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
In all levels, really. Like, you know, it's Unless, like we're saying, really the only asterisk is if you're like a Feynman type of person where you're just undeniable.
Right, right.
Like undeniably talented.
But we're going to pretend like, we're not going to pretend. I mean, that's the outlier. So we're not even going to like consider that really for this podcast. If you're like that, then you're pretty much squared away to do what you want in life, right?
Yeah. I mean, like because people talk about the most famous people like Einstein. Mm. He was kind of like supposed to be this.
He was a scrub.
Yeah, people would say that about him. But
The guy that was way more, like people who thought was a shit back in Einstein's day.
Was von Neumann.
Von Neumann.
Yeah, it's true.
When Einstein was a professor, nobody gave a fuck about him. They're like, who's this fucking crazy-haired bastard? Everybody cared about von Neumann. Like, he was the guy, right?
Yeah.
And then as soon as Einstein, you know, just started pondering a little bit, you know, came up with his...
counterfactuals.
Right. Oh, don't go down that train.
Look at our previous episode if you want to.
Right.
But he started asking certain questions, and that's the thing. Like, it plays to his strengths. Like, he wasn't a great mathematician.
No.
And in fact, I think there was some...
good, but not.
Yeah. There were some testimonials by his professors who were just like, yeah, he didn't really take... He wouldn't show up to class sometimes. And,
you know. I'm probably sure a lot of them would have said Einstein's just some unremarkable guy.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, that's the thing is like, you can't really take people's, you can't take what people say all the time with too much as a final word. Like, just know your own self, know your passion. If you really like physics, I mean, to me, that is the number one thing. Mm-hmm. If that's what you know what you want to do, I mean, that's all there is to it, in my opinion. And if you can put in the hard work, the passion will drive you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just do it. It doesn't matter what you want to do or how old you are. It's just like, just do it. So, you know, the politics of the situation are always going to be a factor. You know, of course, we live in a meritocracy in some sense, but no.
Yeah.
We live in more of a, you gotta know people, you gotta have networks. So, definitely don't forget about that. But, you know, also, you know, do good work.
Look at it this way. The criteria that the department has a lot of the time is the baseline. You know what I mean? Like the GPA thing. These other things that, like, you have to meet. Look at that as the baseline.
Yeah.
And then everything else. Like, what they really want you to do is...
Well, it's like they don't tell you even what they really want, right?
They're
trying to give the people what really is what you're supposed to do, right? Because the baseline just tells you the check bar
minimum criteria
parts, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll just say like it's not even that. It's just like you know, get a certain GPA average, you know, take X amount of courses and X amount of credit hours. They don't tell you anything about fucking networking or
going to
colloquiums and you know, trying to, you know, talk to your professors and actually get them to know who you are. You know, it's like, these are the real important skills in life. I mean, anybody who has connections, you're going to go far. It's like, that's just the bottom line. Mm-hmm. You know, the introverted genius, I mean, you can do it, but good goddamn luck to you. Cause I mean, it's like, just look at a great example, Grigori Perelman. I mean, the guy spent like his whole life solving the Poincaré conjecture.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of these several hundred year old millennium problems that, you know.
Is that the guy who worked at Subway?
No. That's a Twin Primes guy.
Okay.
But Grigori Perelman's a guy who lived with his mom.
Yeah.
Basically just some random ass mathematician, solved this several hundred years problem. Mm-hmm. And they're like, out of nowhere, like, oh, okay. We don't know who the fuck this is, but he solved the problem. You know, of course, he pulled the cool guy move and didn't take the money, but nobody even gives a fuck about him. Like, I've never heard a thing about him since then.
Yeah, that's the Sigma grind set.
True Sigma male right there.
Dude, it really is.
And he still lives with the mom.
As much of a meme as it is, that is the true Sigma grind set right there. Another Sigma like level, I would say Omega level, Galaxy Brain guy.
That's new.
It's the Subway guy.
I don't even know that one.
It's a Subway guy.
Because he worked at Subway and
did math on the side.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, doing...
solved a millennial
Doing millennial problems while giving people tomatoes on their fucking you know, sub sandwich.
As a sandwich artist on the side. My main hustle is being a mathematician, knowing. No, that's kind of the funny thing, because all the mathematicians I knew have this sort of, actually, they suffer from this lone wolf mentality probably more than physicists do.
That makes sense. Because at least in physics, you kind of have to deal with reality. Mm-hmm. In math, you can just go full crazy mode and just lock yourself up in a tower and just only think about equations and nothing attached to reality.
I mean, truly, I mean, I talk about this in a couple episodes, but the guy who demonstrated Fermat's last theorem, the a squared plus b squared equals...
what's his name?
No, cubed. It was cubed. For anything greater than prime...
Andrew Wiles, I believe. Is the name.
Anything with a power greater than 2 and showing that that formula holds true, he took him a decade to do it by himself.
And yeah, even something
then,
like that.
Yeah, and it was just like...
In complete solitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he came out with it and had the answer, and it was wrong. But then he fixed it after like a few months.
That's when
you get that fire under your ass. You're like, oh my God, did I really spend all this time and it's wrong?
And then people were like, actually, you might want to go this way.
Right.
And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, thanks.
Yeah. And it was crazy too, because his other proof or something, they said it didn't have that. It was like a new way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Even it wasn't, but I guess it's also the things when you sat with a problem for a decade, mm-hmm. you know every in and out of the problem, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like
feeling in the dark, really.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he's basically painted the whole picture, mapped the whole place out. You know?
Yeah, I mean, but this is the thing. Like, I think it works more in math. You can get away with that because you look at these like intellectual giants that have done that with solving millennial problems. Mm-hmm. But in physics, it doesn't really work that way. We haven't had a person like that, a singular type.
It can do it, but it's like it's gotten harder and harder. I feel like as time's going on.
True. I mean, but all the recent ones, like, I mean, I'm thinking of superconductivity, right? Like, and that's only a limited perspective of superconductivity that doesn't really hold at other regimes. BCS, right? It's three people: Bardeen, Cooper, and
what's the other guy? Damn. Everybody forgets the other guy.
I'm sorry, S guy.
Oh, Schrieffer.
Schrieffer, thank you. Yeah,
we should know him, too.
Yeah, I know. We should know him.
Yeah.
But he got in trouble, so.
Oh, yeah, because he hit somebody with a car or something?
Drinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But Paul, because he knew somebody, he got away with it.
We went full circle here. Less than a day. You can hit people with your car as long as you know people.
And as long as you won a Nobel Prize, you can get away with murder,
exactly.
Essentially. No, but in all seriousness, like that lone wolf mentality is not going to work. And so you do need to know how to navigate social spheres. Yeah.
Yeah. Lesson of the day. We always reiterate that point, but I mean, it's true, man. It's what it is.
There's politics and physics.
Yes, like any field. So, newsflash, guys. Hate to disappoint you, but you ain't escaping politics. It's everywhere. No matter what field you're in, no matter what group you're a part of, no matter anything, if you're dealing with human beings, you will be doing politics. Mm-hmm. So, you better get damn good at socializing and networking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to be amazing at it, but, you know, just talk to people once in a while.
Yeah, say hi.
Yeah.
That's all it really takes. Talk about the weather. I do.
People love a nice, friendly person, you know, just...
I do it all the time.
Yeah?
I just... Man, I can't... Can you believe how hot it is? I always go to the extremes. Oh, it's cold.
Oh, I see.
Just state facts.
Mm-hmm.
State facts about what is, and then people will be like, oh, yeah.
So. See, Juan's giving out real lessons,
Terrence,
guys.
Actually, this is going to be the helpful part of the segment. How can you navigate these spaces appropriately?
Oh, so I forgot about that. So,
No, I'm just kidding. No, but you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I met the dean of the department.
Yeah.
And the guy knew me by name, so I knew he liked me.
A smart move. So I guess, yeah, it's just like you're saying, if you know a lot of the professors, the dean, you know, you meet up with, let's say if you're going to graduate school, mm-hmm. you email your future advisors, the people you want to work with. I mean, it's just about talking, shouting out. I mean, actually, another great hack that is a 21st century hack is really a podcast. you know, doing this podcast, I've realized how much of a leg up we kind of have in terms of networking with people. I don't think we've even close to utilized it to the way we can, but
yeah,
you know, podcasts really are kind of a good way to leverage yourself with a lot of people who you might not have met in the past. I mean, we've met, you know, guys like Jonathan Garrard, who's, you know, this a co-founder of the Wolfram Physics Project, you know, Cambridge University. We've met other guys on here, you know, we met Veritasium, you know, Three Blue Run Brown, Andrew Dotson. I mean, I don't think we ever would have met these guys.
Never.
If it wasn't for the podcast. So, I mean, any kind of social routes you guys are taking, I mean.
Yeah, now I take up space in their brain.
Right. We live rent-free in Veritasium's mind.
He's like,
he never asked for that.
If he ever saw, if he ever saw a picture of us, he'd be like, I remember those guys.
Right.
Hope they're doing okay. I know.
We're actually not just a faceless person in the sea of YouTube comments.
Nope.
That's how you do it, guys, you know?
Yeah. You can use networking to benefit you. And in that way, I would say also, you know, I've said this before, go to colloquiums, go to social events, try to embed yourself into the institution as much as you can. I did it in a certain way, but I think try to have it be more front facing where the faculty sees you.
Don't go out of your way and be the fucking annoying kid though who's like has to ask 1,000 questions sitting in the front just for attention.
Yeah.
You know, just be normal.
Be normal. That's not helpful at all.
Well, just don't get in your head, you know.
Right,
I mean,
it's
easier said than done. I don't really
know. Right. I mean, the teachers can sometimes smell it on you.
Yeah.
Like, well, I knew a guy.
They can smell the desperation, but some of them like that, you know.
Some of them do like the attention. But I have seen a student in our cohort. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say his name, but he definitely vigorously tried rubbing elbows with the professors.
I think I know who you're talking about.
But it was clear, and one professor was annoyed by it, but it worked on every other professor.
Yeah,
show.
Exactly. So it can work.
Hey, and he made it past. He made it past their walls,
past the barriers,
the boundaries. Yeah,
right there
the
you go.
Yeah.
So it can work. It can work, but you know, just don't be annoying, I guess. For your boy's sake.
Yeah, I mean, do it, you know, do it, try to do it the way Frank Sinatra said, you know.
What is that?
You're going to do it, but you make sure to do it your way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wise wisdom.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess what other ways to navigate one? Those seem like pretty solid ones. I mean, of course you want to make friends with your colleagues, but that should be a given.
Oh, well, here's things not to do.
Oh,
probably the things not to do are bigger.
The negation,
list.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't CC the whole department ever if you ever need anything. Don't CC, please. Like it's just gonna give you a bad.
It sounds like something that that happened.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't want people to know you in that way.
Did you CC the whole department one?
I've don't reply all in the department emails. That's all I'm going to say. No,
I hope this email finds you well.
hello to all. Don't ever do that. That's going to...
Right.
It's like, it's embarrassing being on the other side of it.
Right. I don't even know why it's so bad, but yeah, I feel you.
No, you just don't want to. It's kind of a faux pas. You don't really want to do it. But get to know all the big people who have, honestly, if you're in a grad school program, get to know every member of the graduate committee.
Mm.
They're the power holders in the whole thing. Like really when it comes down to the wire and let's say you don't meet one of the criteria to stay in the program, they're going to be deciding your fate.
Right. They're the final, the final actors in that sense. Yeah.
They're like the Illuminati, but the way they,
but way less cool.
Yeah. They wish. They wish.
But, no blood sacrifices or anything.
No, fortunately for us. Well, you know, maybe that's... Well, I'm not going to go there, but...
you're going to say we haven't found out about the physics Illuminati yet.
We haven't. What was the other thing? The other thing is don't... Oh, yeah. If you're an undergrad...
No, yeah.
The people that you want to, I guess, really get close to, I would say pick three professors that you really like.
Mm-hmm. Or including even your advisor.
Your advisor, or you can also do postdocs. Most people don't really go that route.
Yeah, that's true. But because postdocs, I mean, are pretty much getting there, so yeah. It would help for sure.
Yeah. And, I mean, because faculty letters, they're so-so, but make sure to have, you can also use postdocs as something that they don't really, most people, please don't go to a graduate student or something.
No.
Don't ask them for a letter.
Because also graduate students are not real well-versed in writing letters.
And they're not professors.
No.
I had an undergrad ask me for a letter of recommendation, and I was like, buddy.
You don't want this.
You don't want any part of this. No.
Like he was cool and chill.
I mean, look, I gave him a strong letter because
you wrote it.
I wrote it. Okay. I wrote the letter, yeah. But it was, I'm just a grad student.
I don't even know the process.
I mean, you just talk about the things that they did under your supervision and how, you know, if they're promising. A lot of it is if you're promising enough to be admitted into a graduate program.
Right.
Like if you have the drive, like Terrence is saying, passion, that kind of thing, focus should be good. So, yeah. Did you have anything else come to mind?
I was trying to think of some negatives, but I think we could probably cover most of them.
Don't, I would say don't try to blend in as much as possible. That's all I'm gonna say.
Try to blend in or don't try to blend in?
Try to blend in.
Ooh, I don't know. I think I could probably negate that.
Really?
Yeah, because if you stand out, the people will notice you more. But you want to stand out in the right way, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
I'm just saying, don't wear checkered pants.
That could be kind of cool, though.
You know, the things, I guess, in physics departments, the things that people will find cute or interesting are like if you have ties or socks or something.
Oh, right.
But if you have like if you wear a suit to the department every day or to class, I'm sorry, but that's just not going to cut it. You know what I mean?
I mean, if the suit's in your heart, if you're a suit guy, just do it, you know? I say be yourself, man. Come on, don't be telling people not to be themselves.
I'm just saying there has to be a middle ground because professors will look at you a certain way.
Maybe.
Goes back
it all comes down to the personality of the person.
I guess so.
You could pull off a suit and you're cool, then you can pull it off.
I mean, part of the show is being yourself, you know. We're trying to create that
we're a safe space for sure.
For you guys, for all you normies doing physics. So with that being said,
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Did we want to end on the Eigenbros, ask an Eigenbros question or what?
Nah, this is
I think it's going to be too hard anyway.
I'm really tired, too.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, anyway, folks, make sure you like, share, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you haven't already, check out the website, eigenbros.com. Check out Eigenbros on Instagram, Eigenbros on Twitter, Eigenbros2 on TikTok. And, of course, patrons, guys, we love you. We love you so much.
Seriously.
We could give you a big hug right now
through
this camera.
Doing a group hug.
Yes.
All 20 right now, currently 20 plus.
Yeah, like 28. Hopefully more soon. But yeah, guys, check out patreon.com/Eigenbros.
We'll be doing hangouts, like Terrence is saying. Yes. We'll be doing hangouts soon.
And then a 30-minute audio podcast as well, Discord access. You get the works.
Yes, you do. And yeah, I think that's it.
I think that's it, guys.
See you later.
See you later.